Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, April 12, 2018. And with me today, I have Kelly Gumont. How are you, Kelly?
I'm doing exceptionally well today, Jeff. I know this doesn't mean anything to you, but my basketball team got the home court advantage in the playoffs yesterday, and I was there.
Well, it matters to me because it's something that's important to you and made you happy.
So happy. You can tell because I hollered about it all last night, and I'm feeling it today.
Yep. So you have your karaoke voice today.
I do.
Yep. Adam Christensen from the MacCast, how are you?
Good. I'm good. Although I'm hearing Doc Rock in my head correcting you on your pronunciation of karaoke.
So, you know, I actually do that just to bother him because I know somewhere in the world, like, his eye just starts twitching for no reason and he's like cursing me from across the ocean. Like, I actually do it on purpose just to bother him. I know somewhere he's bugged.
I will change my pronunciation every now and then just to keep Doc Rock on his toes.
As one
should. Good thing. It's a good thing. But I'm good otherwise.
Awesome.
It's all right. It's getting a little, it was hot this week and now it's cooled off again. So I'm happy about that.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Well, welcome to springtime in your part of the world.
Yeah, it was like 90 yesterday or something like that. Crazy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Too early. Too soon. Too soon.
No kidding. Too soon. Yeah. Hey, so I want to talk about this whole 32-bit app thing for the Mac. And so what has me wanting to talk about this is that today is the day that if you're running Mac OS 10.13.4. Yeah, that's right. 10.13.4. As of today, when you launch 32-bit apps on your Mac, you should get a little warning dialog that pops up and says, hey, this is a 32-bit only app, and you need to get an updated version or check with your developer to see if they have a 64-bit version coming because there may be compatibility issues. So there aren't compatibility issues today, but this is just the next step in Apple's slow progression to drop 32-bit support from macOS and move us forward with 64-bit only support in the operating system and for the processors in our computers. And so now we're getting the warnings, hey, this is kind of coming, much like we got earlier with iOS.
All those folks that are still running Office 2008 and Quicken from 2008 and CS5, they're all really bummed right now.
At CS6 also.
Oh.
I was just joking. There's so many people I know that have stuck with those versions of those apps since then. And it's coming to a close. They're not going to be happy.
Yeah, it's coming to a close, but Apple hasn't said exactly when, which to me tells me that they're looking at when they think it's reasonable from their end to drop 32-bit support. And I'm wondering if they're also watching, excuse me, to see how developers are managing the transition into 64-bit support for their apps, like maybe being nice.
Well, again, I think if you're using a 10-year-old app, it's probably time to upgrade.
Yeah. And I get that in very specialized situations, you may not have the option to do that. Like if you have an app that's running a specific piece of hardware that there's just no support anymore, maybe even the company's gone, but this hardware is still critical for what you do. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, now you freeze a Mac in time, so to speak, and leave it on an older version of Mac OS running that software. And now that computer becomes dedicated for whatever that specific task is.
Absolutely. Yep. I have old Mac Mini that's like that.
And now take a moment to think about how somewhere John Martellaro's eye is twitching about not updating your version of Mac OS, keeping it all current, because we know it is.
Yeah. Although it's funny because John waits for me to install updates, watches what breaks for me, and then decides if he's ready to make the leap. So I'm apparently, yes. I am John's canary in his digital coal mine.
I still haven't on my main MacBook Pro. I'm still not running High Sierra yet. So, hey, I'm not even going to be impacted by this.
So yeah, I'm not either.
I'm curious. Is there a reason other than I just haven't gotten around to it?
No, it's for me. The problem is I do so much development work that I have so much low level stuff that has to be like configured in the terminal and like looked after and taken care of when I do an upgrade. And plus this time around, I'm way overdue for a clean install, which mm-hmm. means rebuilding all that stuff from scratch, which means the whole entire process is like, you know, the initial install is at least a weekend project. Plus there'll be residual like, oh my God, I got to go homebrew that library, you know, that thing. Yeah. Oh, yep. This is broken now. I've totally forgot about that. So there's a lot of things that I will have forgotten about. And then it just takes time away from projects that I'm working on mm-hmm. that I don't have. So right. I've been avoiding it.
And I just know a lot of Mac admins. And so things like the user password, like if you just hit return enough times, you can log into somebody's computer.
That's fixed.
Yeah, but it was still the thing that happened. Yeah, so I was like, maybe it's time to upgrade to High Sierra. And then, nope, because anyone who wants to can log into your computer, whether you want them to or not. Okay, I'll wait. And then next was another thing. Then, okay, I'll wait. And then next was another thing. And so I've just sort of waited. And I'm hoping eventually I'll get the all clear, and it'll probably be about the time 10.14 comes out.
It's just the thing is like we're getting closer and closer to 10.14. So then I'm like, maybe I'll just skip one.
Why should I bother? Yeah.
Yeah. No, I get it. I rush in where angels fear to tread so that you don't have to. And
well, it more and more these days too, with how Apple is doing things. I don't know. I'm trying to even think of a feature in like 10.13. Is that what we're doing? That I was like, I need to have that feature, and I can't even think of one right now. So,
which I so far have not been able to find either.
You know, for
like,
me,
oh well, you know, life would be better if I just had this thing in High Sierra. No,
for me, and it's not today, but it's something that I really want to start playing around with. External GPUs.
Oh yeah,
and 10.13.4 gives support for or adds support for that. So
That'd be awesome if I had another $1,200 lying around to invest in something like that.
Yeah, wouldn't that be awesome?
That too.
Yeah.
Well, that is awesome. That is an awesome feature, and it would be cool.
Long overdue. With,
yeah. So if somebody wants to send me one of their external boxes and a really nice graphics card, I'll upgrade.
And tell you all about how it went.
So if someone wants to send me the same, I can start testing it today.
Immediately.
All right. So before we move on, I just want to let everyone know that I wrote an FAQ today explaining what's up with this whole 32-bit app thing and the transition to 64-bit apps. I'm going to make sure there's a link to that in the show notes and also a link to my piece explaining how you can look to see if your Mac is running a 64-bit or a 32-bit Intel processor. Spoiler, you're probably running a 64-bit processor.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Right. And if you're running anything resembling a recent operating system, you have a 64-bit machine. And the thing that I want to point out here is that this is very similar to what was referred to as the bitpocalypse that happened with iOS 11. So a lot of people have been seeing this in some form or another since I think last summer. Like things started coming up with this warning when you would launch it, like soon this app isn't going to work for you anymore. And so if you went through that on iOS or, you know, you upgraded to 11 and something you really don't use that much, all of a sudden popped up and went, wait, I can't run this anymore. It turns out it's 32-bit. There is no update or I never got an update. There was a lot of that happened last fall with the transition to iOS 11. So that's all pretty similar. It's a similar thing that's happening on macOS is what happened on iOS already. So if you did that once, it's the same thing It's just on a different device.
Yeah.
Jeff, how does this impact, just before we move on, how does this impact people who, because the other thing, you know, I joked about people that run older software, and there, I know a few of those people, but I think I know far more people who tend to hold on to like old peripherals in old like printers and scanners and, you know, that favorite trackball that they had for, you know, since 1995 mm-hmm. and those sorts of things. And
it's that to, Kensington like, with the four buttons around the outside edge.
Right, yeah, whatever need, it like, might be.
Three adapters because it went from ADB to US. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's just not a lot of incentive for those companies to update, you know, drivers and things for old. Mm-mm. So is that something that can be a casualty of this transition, or has a lot of that stuff already been taken care of?
I think a lot of
it's more integral to the operating system.
A lot of that stuff, I think, could be a casualty. Like the older stuff. Peripherals right. that are newer, I don't expect any problems. But yeah, like if you have an old trackball that the company hasn't updated in years and it just keeps working and it's like, okay, I'll keep using it. You may right. have to look to one of the third party solutions for drivers. Because right. you know they're what's that company or the app that has drivers for like all different is it Mouse Overdrive?
That's an old, yeah, I don't know if that still exists, but yeah, there was something like that. And then there's the scanner one too, that I've used for years. I don't even know if I still have it on my system.
Yeah. The scanner one, I want to say it's Silver something, but I don't think that's right.
No,
it's been a long time, but yeah, there's the third party scanner utility that offers awesome support for older devices and in many cases can give you features on your newer scanners that the actual developers didn't include.
Right. There's like the CUPS drivers, common Unix printing drivers or something like that, that are just the generic drivers that are part of the Unix framework. So a lot of those, you'll get at least basic support for older printers and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's workarounds, but you know, the point being, and people should go read your article and then just plan, you know, to check now, don't wait. That's what I would say is, you know, the fact that Apple's putting this warning in there for people is sort of like the indicator, like, hey, we are moving forward with this. You know, we told you we were, but now, you know, we're really serious about it. So you probably want to do an inventory and start to plan for that now. So if you find out, yep, my favorite old trackball mouse is not going to work anymore, that you start looking for a replacement.
Yeah. I think that's excellent advice. All right. Cool. So the other thing that I want to talk about today, this kind of spins off from yesterday's discussion where we talked about Apple landing a deal for Isaac Asimov's Foundation trilogy. And notice I say trilogy because in my mind, there is only a trilogy. anyhow, so after the show, we started talking about what else we would like to see. And we're having so much fun. We're going to do that now. And so I'll start with the thing that got us really going down this yesterday. I would love to see Apple sign a deal with Gail Simone for her Clean Room comic book series.
Oh, and I would love to watch that. And it would probably be from back behind the couch because that's a pretty, it's pretty intense in points and I love it. And it would be super fun to see, I think.
Yeah, it's Gail Simone's an amazing writer and she's part of the reason why the Wonder Woman movie was so good, not because she was directly involved, but because many things that were part of her character were inspired from when Gail Simone was writing Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Clean Room. If you haven't checked it out and you want to read a really creepy, but incredibly well-written story, Clean Room. I would love to see that as a series. All right, Kelly, hit me with one.
Okay. So I'm going to go with a trend that we have seen a little bit of, which is bringing back an old TV show.
Okay.
So DuckTales has come back now. It's on Disney XD with David Tennant as Uncle Scrooge, for people who don't know. And we've One Day at a Time has made a comeback. There's a couple other series that like used to be TV that are, you know, Roseanne is back. There's like old TV that like is new again. Mm-hmm. And there's two, because they went together at the time, there's two I'd like to see come back. And they are, are you sitting down?
I'm sitting down.
Murder, She Wrote and Magnum P.I.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine a modern day Murder, She Wrote? And
Mostly because I think if I were a person who wrote television shows, I think the challenge of making Murder, She Wrote really interesting, now that you can get a hold of everybody all the time, but still having the tension of like what's going to happen, and is the murder mystery writer going to be okay when she goes off with this person who actually is the killer, but she doesn't know it. And like, you know, because then like nobody could call her while she was in the car with the person and be like, yeah, it was him. You need to get out the car. So like, how do you do stuff like that now? You know, and I would be very interested to see that. And I always really enjoyed Magnum PI. So I think that would be a really good resurrection as well.
Okay, I'm game for this. Adam, what do you want to see?
There was a book that I really enjoyed when I was a kid, and I know that Netflix is doing some of this content, but I was a fan of Ray Bradbury.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd love to see something done with the Martian Chronicles.
Oh,
Ray Bradbury. And I know that like Netflix is doing Fahrenheit 451, or it might be Amazon. I don't remember.
I think it's Amazon.
Yeah. So, you know, and just, he has a whole wealth of like content that he just was such a great writer, and he has a bunch of great stories and things like that. So I'd love to see more of his stuff being converted and made into films and shows, whether it's a series or just a one-off movie.
I think Martian really Chronicles cool. would make a great series.
Yeah, I think it would too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
absolutely. Kelly, you also forgot Lost in Space is coming back too, right?
That was the other one. I knew there was like a wave of them.
And actually, Netflix Lost in Space, isn't that tomorrow? It starts on,
yeah, it's
on
like really April 13th. Soon. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I'm interested in seeing that. Parker Posey as Dr. Smith could mm-hmm. be really interesting.
Yeah. Okay. I'm very interested to see how all of those are going to turn out. But that was sort of what got me thinking about old television.
So as far as we know, Apple does not have a superhero series, and everyone has a superhero series. So I'm thinking Apple should do a deal for Black Hammer.
Oh.
And yeah. And if you're not familiar with Black Hammer, it's a relatively newish series, comic book series. I want to say it's like a year and a half old, maybe. And it's a very unconventional look at superheroes, but it's still very much a superhero thing. And Black Hammer is just a wonderfully unconventional superhero character. And without giving away anything, so no spoilers, the way the comic book story arc goes, it lends itself very well to some parallel stories, which they're doing with the characters right now. And one of them follows Black Hammer's daughter as she tries to unravel this really big mystery surrounding something that happened with some of the superheroes. So there's a lot that you can do with Black Hammer.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see. We're almost out of time. Do either of you have anything else you want to toss out real quick before we wrap up?
I do too. I have one more comic book. When you're talking about comic book people, there was a series that came out in the 80s that I kind of got into. I think it was revamped in the mid 2000s. It was a Marvel series called Power Pack.
Power Pack.
Oh, I don't remember this one.
It was a bunch of preteens, and at the time it dealt with sort of a lot of adult issues. And I think when it was relaunched, it got a lot more like kid friendly and poppy.
Yeah.
It never was a very popular series, I don't think, in terms of a comic book, but I enjoyed it as a kid. So it could be tapped either way, which is interesting. And I know Apple is sort of going for more of the family friendly sort of vibe. So I would imagine it would be a series that they could do that would be maybe aimed at younger readers or watchers, I guess, as it were.
All right. And Kelly, you said you had one more?
I do. I have a list, but I really like the idea, given that Apple and Disney are friendly, and I believe that this would be a rights thing, is more Edgar Rice Burroughs Mars stories, because there were many of them in the books. Yep. And I feel like if Apple's going to just throw all the money at it, they would be able to do it justice. And I don't feel like the John Carter movie got a fair shake, because I think it's better than it gets credit for being. And I'd like to see more of those stories, because I really enjoyed them. I really enjoyed reading them as a kid. And that's another one that could be pretty family friendly overall, if because they weren't all that awful in the first place. You know, like, they weren't super violent, and they weren't super anything that I remember being, you know, really terrible. Maybe I should read them again. But yeah,
some of the sex slave stuff. they might if they want to make it family friendly, they would have to address that in a different way.
Yeah. But I think it would be again, like, you know, rebooting a TV show from the 80s, like, sometimes those constraints are interesting to see how they get addressed. So I would be I think that would be a fun one to tell, especially because it's very serialized to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And so it would be very easy to sort of lay out how that would all come together.
All right.
Even if they revamped a Tarzan series or something like that.
Yeah.
And also, now you got me also thinking about old stuff from the 50s and 60s and things like that. You know, I haven't seen anybody do a really good updated sort of just spy kind of series or show either.
Oh.
You know, and I'm thinking more along the lines of like a Get Smart, to be honest, but even if it was serious and not comedy, you could have some fun with that.
Yeah.
My stuff is always fun. I enjoy that.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, listeners, I'm curious, what should Apple be licensing for shows on Apple TV? Let me know. You can give me your suggestions on Twitter. That would be @TMODaily. You can send me emails, observations@macobserver.com. And you can leave comments in the show notes. I'm going to look to all those places. And what I'm hoping is that someone at Apple is paying attention and they look at our suggestions and think, maybe there's some good stuff here.
Some yesterday. So yeah. So if you are listening, Apple, like yesterday, we had some good ideas too.
Yeah. So call us. All right. We are out of time, so we have to wrap up. Adam, thank you so much for being here today.
Hey, thanks for having me. This was a fun one.
This was lots of fun. And Kelly, thank you for being here too.
Thanks for having me.
And listeners, thank you for being here. I'm so glad you're here just hanging out with us and sharing your favorite shows. Thanks for listening. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.